This is Perspectives, a weekly public affairs presentation by Midwest Communications of Holland. In the 99.7 1450 WHTC newsroom, I'm Gary Stevens. With the chill of winter already upon us, ahead of the calendar calling it winter next week, let's take a look at fire safety with Holland Department of Public Safety Fire Operations Captain Chris Tinney. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Gary. It's great to see you.
Good to have Chris Tinney with us. Let's talk first about heat and keeping people warm. Tell us a little bit about some of the problems that unfortunately cause issues and needs the fire trucks to come by because you have a house or a residence or a dwelling up in flames.
The concern we have now, we're getting into the heating season. We're well into it, and what we're finding, we want to make sure that people are aware of how they heat their home. Space heaters can create a problem with electrical fires or actually overloading the electrical system. So you want to be careful what type of devices you use. Make sure you read the directions on them. Most space heaters are, you're confined to the length of the cord that comes with the device. When you start to extend that cord, you become, you're putting more energy through that cord than it was probably designed to take. When you use a space heater, you're going to keep, blinds, combustibles, you want to keep good clearance around it, probably a good 36 inches. Keep them from tipping over, although most of them have tip switches. The other thing I think we need to talk about is as we get into, again, further into the heating season, some people have still use their stove to take the edge off the, they'll turn the stove on to add heat to an area. That is not what that design is designed for, device is designed for, and it will emit carbon monoxide, which is a concern, a definite health concern for people inside a residence. We know that the economy will probably create some challenges for most people, and the need to provide heat in their homes can cause us to resort to different ways of doing it. We just ask that people use their best judgment and use care and caution when attempting to do that.
You mentioned carbon monoxide. We have had some stories in recent days, well, actually one that came over our wires. Three mothers say they plan to sue Airbnb after their adult children died of suspected carbon monoxide poisoning while staying at a rental in Mexico City. The three Americans were found dead inside a vacation rental after they traveled to Mexico in October. An attorney for the victim's mother says their lawsuit will demand that Airbnb mandate carbon monoxide detectors at all of its properties. Airbnb released a statement saying it already offers smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to all eligible hosts and has given away over 200,000 of them. I don't want you to talk particularly about this particular story, but about having detectors that do more than just detect smoke.
Right, and that's an important tool to have in any home. We many years ago, I think, I'd hate to estimate the number of people that succumbed to carbon monoxide poisoning simply because they didn't know it was there, and that tells us a little bit about carbon monoxide on its own. Carbon monoxide is colorless, odorless. You may smell it as a carrier, exhaust. You'll smell the other components in the exhaust. You might smell the oven. You might smell something coming out of your furnace. But for the most part, it's colorless and odorless. The only way to detect that is through a carbon monoxide monitor that you can place in your home. And we recommend that those are placed in the sleeping areas and maybe any area you would have CO generating equipment. Of course, you don't want it right next to the device or right next to the furnace, but you do want it in that area for early detection. Again, it is colorless. It is odorless. A lot of times carbon monoxide poisoning will present itself as some other form of illness. We've heard the term flu-like illness, and that's something to always be concerned about. Do you, in fact, have the flu, or is there something else going on in the home? We recommend that all homes have carbon monoxide monitors. They are inexpensive, and that can – that can be a challenge.
But the costs have gone down, hasn't it?
Yes. They have come down a lot, and you don't need, most of them, all of them are UL listed, and they are available. Some of our bigger big box stores, hardware stores, those folks have them available. And while you're there, make sure you If your smoke alarm is more than 10 years old, make sure you replace that while you're at it. And those have come down tremendously. You can probably buy an approved smoke alarm for about $7 to $10.
Yeah. And yet, one thing about those smoke alarms, Tim, Chris, is the fact that it's one thing to have just the bare bones, change the battery every time, with daylight savings time. But more often than not, sometimes it's better to have not only that capability, but also have the electric capability as well, so that if the batteries are run down, the alarm still is good.
Right. And new construction, residential construction of homes would require 110, 120-volt hardwired detectors with a battery backup. And that's what we recommend. We know that that's economically not possible for everyone, but they do make, in lieu of that, there are detectors out there that have 10-year lithium-ion batteries in them. So you can buy them, and they're pretty much maintenance-free until they chirp at you, and then you got to replace them. So that's that. But
yeah, let's put it this way. A little preventative expenses and investment now saves a lot of issues down the road, be it damage, be it harm to lives of not only people living, but also people responding, and frankly, we don't want that.
Yeah, we are in the giving season. If you're aware of somebody that needs some of these devices, it may be a great gift. So,
Chris, I want to play you a classic scene from a classic movie, A Christmas Story.
Plug her in.
It is.
Well, the green string is out.
No, the green is on. It's the blue that's out.
Oh, don't tell me what color it is. I'm not colorblind.
I'm not colorblind either.
Hey, see, I told you it was green.
Chris, that is a comical scene from the late Darren McGavin. But it is a scene that unfortunately happens more often than not. You're trying to string lights, and you have too many lights in too few of electrical outlets. Even with the surge protector, that doesn't work.
Right, and a lot of those are protected, but we want to make sure that we limit the number of strings that are in a continuous string of lights. Again, most of these lights are probably not put together very well. They're not very durable. I think every year I always have a string of them that it worked when we put them away, but now they don't work. And if there's any question about that, don't try to fix them or repair them. Again, they are fairly inexpensive, but it's not worth the risk. Make sure they're in good condition. Kind of inspect them. Take the string out and look for cuts and nicks in the wires, and that's important as well. And if in doubt, again,
that's the quality of the string itself, but then trying to put too many things on an electrical outlet, that could cause a fire.
Right, and then it's not just the small little lights. LEDs draw tremendously. That's a small amount of light compared to what they used to, but that may add some level of safety. May allow you to add more strings, but there are instructions, and we all throw those out, of course. But if you look at those on the package, they generally will tell you how many strings you can put in a line, and somebody is trying to help you. So it may be worth checking that out. The other thing we worry about, how you affix them to things. If you just drape them in a tree, that's not too big of a problem. But stapling or any metallic fasteners to anything would be probably an opportunity to create some type of direct short to something. So we want to make sure that we don't use them. Wire ties are good, maybe some substantial tape, that type of stuff. But anyway, you want to protect them from any type of mechanical damage, doors, people stepping on them. Just don't throw a rug over your extension cord and continue to walk over that. So anytime you damage those types of things, you certainly open up the conductors and create a fire risk potential.
Another Christmas type of situation is dealing with live trees.
Correct.
And making sure they stay watered, because if they dry out, you have an instant fire hazard, big time instant fire hazard in your home.
That's correct. And the important thing is a prep with a good Christmas tree, making sure that you've got it, that it is good, green, and healthy when you harvest it or you bring it home. We recommend that you try to acclimate the tree, make a fresh cut before you put it in a stand to make sure that the tree is open to receiving, be able to draw water. It's still alive, and they will draw water for some time. I can always remember my in-laws would always do a fresh tree, and there was quite a ritual behind doing that, make sure it was done right. And I swore that tree would grow throughout the season. But, again, making sure that you got a good, healthy tree to start with, good stand, good, solid, sturdy stand to hold that, and plenty of water, and make sure that water never ends up not being supplied. Watch the tree from time to time. Make sure that there's no – if you start to see an excessive amount of needles dropping, it's normal to have a tree that drops needles, but if you see an excessive amount of those, it's an indication that the tree's beginning to dry out and probably become more combustible than what we would really want.
Yeah.
Add that to a poor string of lights, and you've got a really big problem there. So I don't get into the debate over, you know, artificial versus real. I think they both offer certain things to certain people, and that's a personal choice. We just ask that to use caution with whatever one you use.
The words of Fire Operations Captain Chris Tinney of the Holland Department of Public Safety. And that's Perspectives for this week. From the 99.7 1450 WHTC Newsroom, I'm Gary Stevens. Thank you very much for listening. And join me again next week at this time for more Perspectives.